I am so excited about that. The older I get, the less I can deal with cold. All right. Well, welcome to Harvest Church. We are so glad that you guys are starting your year off with us. You know, the start of the year is sort of a natural time to sit back and reflect and take stock of how life is going, how things are going in our lives.
Which one is
it
going?
To celebrate what's going well. A good time to sort of make note of and redouble our efforts on those things that we need a little bit of help.
You know, we do that. We do that as a church as well, don't we? We sort of stop as a church and we look at the big picture. Who are we as a church? Who do we want to be? What are we doing well as a family? What are the things we want to do a better job at? You know, there are lots of areas that we want our church to be strong at. There are lots of areas that we say, okay, as a church, who do we want to be? We want to be a biblically based church. We want to be a church that serves. We want to be a loving and a welcoming church. These are all things that we think God has called us to as individuals and as a church. Above all else, do you know what I want this church to be? Nothing even comes close. I want this church, Mike knows, I want this church to be a church of prayer. Oh, I am desperate for it. I want us to be men and women of prayer. I was telling my wife when I was working on this message, I'm like, we do this every year. We start the year with a series on prayer. And I told her, it is probably the most important message I do all year, and I feel so inadequate. When we look at the big picture of who we are, I want us to be a church of prayer. I want the community to think of Harvest Church and say, oh yeah, that's right, that's the church that prays. In Revelations, it tells us that the prayers of the saints are like incense to the Father in heaven. Above all else, I want us to be a church of prayer. When we do this series every year, we make sure that it's at least 2 weeks. We make sure that both Pastor Eric and Pastor Peter share a message on prayer. We want you to see that this is not one person's vision. We want you to see both pastors are passionate about prayer. I believe prayer is part of what defines us as Christians. It's a big deal. And we'll dig into the scripture this morning. Lord, oh God, I thank you that we can be here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would come in a powerful way this morning. Fill this place and touch our hearts with your word and your truth and your perspective on prayer and what place that should have in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would be touching our hearts, giving us humility to be open to what you say. God, move our preconceived notions out of the way. May we be open to what you and you alone have to say. Pray you'd come and speak through me again. Just move me out of the way, Lord, and would you speak powerfully this morning, touching our hearts with your truth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. My notes say there are two passages of Scripture we'd like to touch on today. We're actually going to only get to one. Here's the first point, though. Here's the first point, and we've already touched on it. There is nothing more important in a Christian's life than prayer. And I mean that. I mean that. There is nothing more important in a Christian's life than prayer. This is not just a catchy phrase that is handy for a prayer series. I mean this with all that I am. I am 100% convinced that for Christians, in all of Scripture, the most life-transforming, God-honoring, best worship that makes all of heaven celebrate and all of hell tremble in fear is prayer. It is prayer. There's nothing more important in the Christian life than prayer. And some of you are sitting there thinking, really, Peter? Really? I mean, I think you're maybe blowing this up a little bit. I challenge you to try it for 3 months. Pray every day, passionately, for 15 to 30 minutes. Just 15 to 30 minutes every day for 3 months. Three measly little months. And I guarantee you, your life will change. And you will agree with me. In James, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we don't have time to run through them all, but Scripture is littered with stories of people who would pray and God would do miraculous things. Elijah, he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and for 3.5 years, God held back the rain. Can you imagine no rain for 3.5 years? And then Elijah prayed, and God opened the heavens, and the rain came down. Miraculous things happen when you pray. Hannah, just an amazing woman, she prayed. She was barren. You know, she had married a man, and they tried to have a family, and that it didn't work. So he married another woman. And then the other woman was able to conceive. What does that say? Clearly, it was Hannah who was the problem. Hannah, full of faith, prayed, and God blessed her with a son, Samuel, and grew up to be a great prophet for God. Over and over in Scripture, we see these miraculous answers to prayer. We do our joys and concerns before the service. Guys, over and over, we see God's miraculous answers to our prayers as well. One of my favorite verses is out of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. What other nation is so great as to have the Lord, to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? God is telling us, when you pray, I will draw near. Who else has that? Where else do you find the Creator of everything, heaven and earth, everything we say, He will stop and listen when we pray? And yet, with all of this about prayer, right? All the amazing miracles that we see. The fact that God will stop and listen. The idea that prayer might be the most important thing we can do. How many of us pray enough, even with that understanding? Does anybody? The truth is that prayer is woefully neglected in our world and our society. My wife got me this shirt that says, Man of Prayer. It's probably my favorite shirt. I don't wear it as much as I would like to, because every time I put it on, there's a twinge inside of me. Am I really a man of prayer? Do I pray enough that defines who I am as a man? When God looks at me, does He say, yes, clearly, Peter is a man of prayer? I don't think so. I don't pray as much as I would like to. Do I pray enough that defines me? I don't know. I'd like it to define me more. And then you've got to ask the hard questions, right? What is it? If we understand the truth of how powerful prayer is, and we understand the desire for that to define who we are, what is it that keeps us from living that out? Well, I think there are lots of things. There are lots of things. I told you guys before, I believe that prayer is the most difficult spiritual discipline. The most rewarding, but I think it's the most difficult. Our world doesn't, well, this is what we're going to talk about today. This is why, I think. I don't think we prioritize prayer high enough. We just don't prioritize it high enough in our lives. Remember, prayer should probably be at the top, right? It should be at the absolute top. But many of us, it's a ways down the list. We get busy and distracted. I don't quite get to it, right? We have other responsibilities. I mean, we've got work and family, men's study and home group. I mean, it's playoff time. We have football games to watch. There are lots of excuses. We're doing that prayer time Wednesday morning here at 6:30. And before the service, Tim was asking me, he's like, Is this every Wednesday now, or is it just this Wednesday? And I said, well, I'd like it to be every Wednesday, but let's just start with this one and see how it goes. Because I have, since I've changed my job 6 months ago, I have said, this is awesome. My schedule works out. We will pray at 6:30 Wednesday mornings. We'll do that. I have been saying that for 6 months without doing anything about it. I haven't prioritized it high enough on my list because a little extra sleep is above prayer on my list. And I'm ashamed of it. But it is true. How many times in the history of the world do you think a conversation like this has happened where somebody says, hey, do you want to go pray with me? And the person responds, I'd really like to. I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy to pray. But I bet that conversation has happened more times than we can count. And maybe some of us wouldn't quite verbalize it that way. I certainly wouldn't verbalize I'm too busy to pray. And yet, my actions have shown that. The way that I live my life shows that prayer is a lower priority in my life than a half an hour of sleep. I love this quote from Ian Bounds. He's a pastor and a wonderful Christian author. He lived in the 1800s into the 1900s. And he said, too busy to pray is not only the keynote of backsliding, it mars even the world. Nothing is well done without prayer for the simple reason that it leaves God out of the account. Listen to this last sentence. Satan has effectively disarmed us when he can keep us too busy doing things to stop and pray. Oh, men and women, we need to stop and reprioritize prayer in our lives. Satan is effectively disarming us when we're too busy to pray. All right, I want to look real quickly at just how drastically the disciples prioritized prayer. They were wild. We're going to look at the passage that Tim read this morning. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Let's start with a little bit of context. We're going to go back to verse 1 in chapter 6. It says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." All right, so this fight has broken out. It's more of a disagreement. Not a full fight. There are no fists being thrown. But this disagreement pops up because they say, you know, this one group of widows isn't, they're not getting food. And it's fascinating to me that they don't say that they believed that the widows were being overlooked or that they felt like the widows maybe weren't getting as much as everybody else. No, it says they complained because the widows were being overlooked. So you've got this big group of believers starting to form. They see themselves as a family, just like we do here, right? And some of the widows aren't getting any food. Is this a big deal? We don't know. Is this a big deal? This is a huge deal. There are people who aren't getting food that they need to survive. The disciples know they need to take action. Something has to be done. So it goes on. "So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God.'" Okay. So they know something needs to be done. They call everybody together and say, "Okay, it's not really right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word. This is what we're going to do." They say, "Bring us 7 men full of the Spirit." Those 7 men come together. That's their responsibility, to make sure that everyone is treated equally. Everybody gets food to eat. Nobody dies because they aren't getting food because they're being overlooked. Once they get that settled, the next verse is what Tim read this morning. The disciples said, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word." Did you notice that they added something there? Just before this, they said, "You know what? It's not right for us. It's not right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word to feed people." It's almost like they're saying, "You know, we could, but it wouldn't be right." And then they get to the here, and they say, "Okay, that's taken care of. What are they going to do? They're going to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." The word "devote" there, and I won't say it, it means to steadfastly be attentive to persevere and not faint, to show oneself courageous for, to be in constant readiness. That's what they said. "We will be steadfastly attentive to prayer. We will persevere and not faint in prayer. We will show ourselves courageous in prayer. And we will be in constant readiness to pray." Why did they leave out prayer the first time? And they said, it's not good for us to neglect the ministry of the Word. Why did they not say it's not good for us to neglect prayer and the ministry of the Word? Did they just forget about it? And they got a few verses later and went, "Oh yeah, that's right, we're supposed to pray too." No. No, I think it's because they had prioritized prayer in such a way in their life that it dwarfed everything else. And when it came to people not getting enough food, they said, "You know what? This is our job. This is our calling, the ministry of the Word. It's possible that we can neglect that to make sure they get food. That's an important deal. We could maybe stop that, even though that's what God created us to do." It wasn't even on the table to stop praying. I wasn't even a thought. They said, well, there's no way. There's no way that we will neglect prayer, even to make sure people get the food they need to eat. How many of us prioritize prayer like that in our lives? Now, I know there are some of us saying, listen, I have children. They have to eat. Yes, they do have to eat. That's not an either or, making sure that they eat or praying. You can do both. Okay. I'm going to wrap it up here. There's nothing more important for us than prayer. So here's the question or the challenge for the week. Where is prayer on your list of priorities? Where does that rank? Where does it rank in your head? And then I want you to look at your life and write down, where does it rank in the way that you live your life? I told you guys, it shows up in two different places in my life. I'm not proud of that. That's just the way, when I look at my life, I say, okay, prayer, I prioritize prayer here and I live prayer out here. I want to change that. So where is prayer on your list of priority, and what trumps prayer in your life? What trumps prayer in your life? As we start this new year out, man, can we commit together? Can we decide as a church, as a family, as individuals, that we will be men and women of prayer? That it will be our top priority as Christians. And it will define us as a church. I cannot wait to see what God does in our church. If we can do that. All right, let me pray, and the music team can come up and finish us off before the fellowship meal. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you that you love us enough to create us, to knit us together in our mother's womb. And you don't just finish there, Lord, then you want to spend a lifetime, an eternity, communing with us, connecting with us. Thank you that you want us to pray. Lord, you want us to call out to you. You don't want to be a separate, distant God. You want to be close and intimate. Lord, I just pray for your strength and your courage to draw close to you and pray. Prayer, Father, would you make me a man of prayer? Would you make us men and women of prayer? That we would be a church of prayer, that it would be the top on our priority list, both in our mind and the way that we live our life out. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would just be touching and moving our hearts, Lord, and drawing us closer and closer and closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.